number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
On the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Matthew turns, fakes the give to George, throws, end zone, caught, touchdown Detroit Lions, Eric Ebron's got it.
Daniel's got an empty backfield, back to throw, looking, firing, open, touchdown. He's got his receiver, Devontae Parker, who gets into the end zone, his third touchdown of the season.
So, second and goal to go from the one-yard line. Hightower with second effort. He is to the goal line, and he is in for the touchdown.
Eagles lead by 1 point here in the fourth quarter. Bradford looks, floats it, caught. Touchdown, Jordan Matthews, his second of the game.
Cousins in the shotgun formation, takes a snap from Larribas. Kirk looking to the right, he's going down the sideline, looking for Crowder. Caught! Caught, and there is the all-time passing yardage record set by Kirk Cousins. Passing the mark set by Jay Schrader in 1986.
Tony D, with you.
This is Tony D, working the third shift.
From the Quick and Loan Studios, here's
Tony D.
Tony D.
You got it right here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we go through the night, week 17 of the National Football League, WXYT in Detroit, as the Lions beat the Chicago Bears. Matt Stafford with that touchdown pass. WINZ down in Miami. That was kind of a shocker as the Dolphins beat the New England Patriots. Ryan Tannehill again with the touchdown. That was a little bit of a shocker because the Patriots needed a win to get the number one seed, and they didn't play well at all. New Orleans beat the Atlanta Falcons. Tim Hightower with a touchdown run on WWL in New Orleans. Kai Forbath kicking a game-winning field goal as time expired for the Saints, who knocked off the Falcons. Atlanta finished the year 8-8, by the way, and they started the year 5-0. Philadelphia beat the New York Giants. WIP in Philly with the call there. Sam Bradford with the touchdown pass, and then the Washington Redskins on WTEM in D.C., beating the Dallas Cowboys. Kirk Cousins with the touchdown there. The Redskins are off to the playoffs. The Cowboys finished 4-12. That's their worst record since the 1-15 year of 1989. But they were very quickly turning that around and going on to winning Super Bowls in Dallas. And now they'll be heading to the draft with a top five pick. 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. Yep, that's right. We also look forward to the draft. The Tennessee Titans will have the number one pick, thus making their coaching opportunity even more enticing than it was before. Jacksonville with another top five pick. Now, last week, they gave the vote of confidence to Gus Bradley to continue to build that franchise. He'll do so with another top pick. You know what's going to be interesting about the Jaguars though next year is they're not going to have one. They're not going to have one number one draft pick in action for them. They're going to have two because Dante Fowler was out for the whole year, and they're going to have two number one picks.
They really disappointed me. They disappointed me down the stretch.
Totally. They did. They were looking good.
They were.
And Bortles was playing well. And the Hearns Robinson thing looked like it was working out. They were fun. They were young. They were winning games. They were losing games, but it was kind of close. You felt like they're turning the corner. It's going to be quick. Nah. They just.
They need a go-to back. I like TJ Yeldon, but he's kind of more of that change of pace. Could turn out to be a good back, feature back eventually, but he's not right now. And Denard Robinson's just that third down kind of fast guy.
And the interesting thing about where they're going with Gus Bradley, and again, this was one of my, hey, I like Gus Bradley. He's going to work out great. We'll still wait and see on that. I love the Gus Bradley hire when it happened. I just, I really, really wish it was quicker. But you see the kind of intelligence, though, that at least the Jaguars ownership is saying, look, we hired a guy. We expect it to be a process. He's going through his process. And we believe in him. We're going to give him another chance. Unlike in Cleveland, where if you don't win 12 games, the second you get to town, you're fired immediately. Immediately. Did we not? Tell me I'm wrong. Did we not talk about the streamlining of the front office of the Cleveland Browns, about how they want a little bit more continuity and they want this nonsense of turnover to stop, and they can't help themselves?
I just want to know if this saved Johnny Manziel in Cleveland.
Oh, God. Johnny Manziel must have known something was up. Just said, when you need me.
He went and partied in Vegas because of it. I'm guessing he knew.
Just let me know if you need something, because I'm not hanging around with this garbage. Wow. What a disaster.
Oh, I mean, Cleveland for a reason.
Here's the deal. It's one of 32 jobs. So you know what? If you're looking for a head coaching job, the Cleveland Browns are one of only 32 jobs. So get it if you can. But if you are a legit coach, and the Browns are going to throw a boatload of money your way, and you're really thinking about going there, get an 8 to 10 year contract that is unbreakable. That is like, you can't fire me. Even if I'm on the sidelines naked and drunk, you can't fire me, because that's the only way you're going to be able to turn it around in Cleveland. You have got to sit down with Jimmy Haslam and say, look, you are 5 years away from making something remarkable here. So if you want me to coach here, I don't even want to see you in my office for the first 3 years that I'm coaching here. You let me do what I want. After the third year, if you're not seeing improvement, we'll talk. But I get 3 years of you not saying a word to me about this football team, and I will see where I can take it.
One thing I will say about Cleveland is at least they got rid of Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine. They cleaned house. The San Francisco 49ers, on the other hand, keep Trent Baalke around again after he was supposedly going to fire Jim Tom Sula. I don't think it's happened yet. It will happen tomorrow or today. But it's like everyone's saying he's safe and Tom Sula's out. Oh, Tom Sula, we were just talking, you know, how funny his press conference was, his opening press conference.
Exactly.
Last year.
No one was really comfortable with Jim Tom Sula being the head coach of the 49ers. It just seemed weird.
It was very weird.
It really was weird. Like, nobody knew who he was.
No.
It's like the first coaching hire where we just were like, do we even know anything about this guy? I remember back in 2008. Do you remember 2008 when gas prices were like $5 a gallon? Remember that? It was just crazy. And then all of a sudden, gas prices started to plummet. It kind of like what they are now. They started taking a nosedive, and by the late 2008, 2009, we were back to less than $2 a gallon, and people were kind of happy again. And I remember I don't know anything about how gas prices rise and fall, so I like to ask people to know. And I had a friend of mine who was in that business, and I said, what the hell happened to gas prices? And he said, look, the reason why gas prices plummeted was they should have never been that high to begin with. And the same analogy with Jim Tom Sula. Jim Tom Sula is being fired from a job he shouldn't have had to begin with. Like, that's where I feel for the guy. He was put in an awful, awful situation. He was the guy that had to clean up what the San Francisco 49er mess was going to deal any head coach in the league. No matter who you were coming in, you were replacing Jim Harbaugh on a team where guys retired early, quit, injured. Colin Kaepernick was a mess at a quarterback. You were going with Blaine Gabbert. And somehow he was supposed to turn that into something respectable? You put this man who had been in the league all of these years as a person nobody knew, but he was quietly doing his job, and you handed him a head coaching opportunity and then snatched it away because you gave him junk to deal with. I mean, nobody could turn the 49ers around. They lost a ton of guys.
What I don't understand is I've seen reports of Sean Payton wanting to go to San Francisco. I've seen Chip Kelly wanting to reach out to the 49ers for the position once it opens. Why do coaches want to go to San Francisco?
Why don't they just chill? There's something else. I mean,
there's supposedly going to be 8 openings, including the Colts with Andrew Luck.
I would wait and chill before I go running to San Francisco.
You know what?
It's one of 32 jobs. If you're the only one, if it's the only one left and you get it. But if you have a chance, if you're Adam Gase, sit and chill.
Yeah, you wait.
Evaluate everything about where you're going and find out where you want to work and what you want to work, who you want to work with. I mean, there's plenty out there.
You know what I can't wait for in the draft? We were talking about the draft earlier. Is the Cowboys sitting at 4, Jerry just yelling to draft Jared Goff, and everyone else is like,
this is gonna
relax.
Be great.
Oh, it's or Paxton Lynch, whichever one's there, because most likely one of them's gonna be there, unless the Browns and the Chargers t- take quarterbacks?
I can't wait to see Jerry Jones in this draft. Oh, I can't wait.
Number four.
Going to be a blast. He can't help himself. He's gonna talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. It's going to be awesome.
Like,
it is going to be awesome.
For some reason, I feel like it's got to be either one of the quarterbacks or a guy like Laquon Treadwell, just because he's a wide receiver.
Absolutely.
Like, it has to be a big playmaker. And those, in Jerry's mind, those don't exist on the defensive side.
It's quarterback
and wide receiver, and that's it.
He's got a four pick. Four pick! This is gold! Gold, Jerry, gold! 800-777-2907. All right, we'll set more up on the playoff picture. If you've just joined us, we have been getting into the Peyton Manning thing. If you want to chime in on that, hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Don't forget, like us on Facebook, where you can comment there. Tony D Radio Show. We cruise through the night, giving you the NFL as we get done week 17 on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, Chris Gates is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, coming up in 13 minutes. We're going to talk to him about the Minnesota Vikings, who won tonight over the Green Bay Packers, thus winning the division, thus finishing 11-5. Remember the Adrian Peterson stuff at the beginning of the year? Remember how crazy that was? He was going to get traded, and he had to play, or he wasn't going to play at all, and he was complaining. Remember, Peterson actually had this rant on Twitter about non-guaranteed contracts. I mean, it was just it looked like it was a divorce. It looked like it was not going to be something that they could resolve. There was just going to be bad blood between the two. The Vikings had him under contract. He didn't want to be there. Vikings said, no, we're not trading you. Forget it. You're going to run the ball for us. And all of a sudden, he comes back to work. Everything's fine. You never hear a peep out of him for the rest of the year. He becomes the NFL rushing leader. The Vikings go 11-5. The problem with the Vikings, and we're going to talk to Chris Gates about this at the bottom of the hour, the thing about the Vikings that had always plagued me was the way they played against better teams in the NFL leading up to Sunday night. I mean, beating the Packers at Lambeau is a legit win. That's a big win. But they had games where they had lost to the Packers this year, they lost to Seattle, they lost to Arizona, and they didn't look very good. The Arizona game, they looked pretty good. And almost won that one, but for the most part, they weren't able to beat the better teams in the NFC. And so this win against Green Bay makes them a little bit more, okay, now we can maybe shed that label a little bit. But they have a very good defense led by a good defensive mind in Mike Zimmer. But this is an interesting team to watch. But they've got a Seattle team that's coming in that's really, really on fire. But over in the AFC, and we talked about this before, how unbelievable wide open it is. It is so incredibly wide open. When your number six team is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and as good as they are offensively, albeit we were talking earlier about how they're struggling a touch. But when you're talking about an AFC that looks like this, your number one team has a quarterback controversy. Your number two team is a beat-up New England Patriots squad. Number three has Andy Dalton injured, maybe back, maybe not. They have A.J. McCarron leading the way at quarterback. Your number four seed is a very good defense in the Houston Texans, but they've used four different quarterbacks this year. You're looking at a five seed that's one of the hottest teams in the NFL in the Kansas City Chiefs. They've won 10 in a row coming into the playoffs now. And the number six team, as I mentioned earlier, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who could put up a lot of points and have Antonio Brown, and even though they have a banged-up D'Angelo Williams, is an offense that can really come to life at any time. This is how wide open. All the teams are flawed, no doubt. Steelers defense isn't what it used to be, and again, that running game could be affected by the loss of Williams. Cincinnati may still be hampered by AJ McCarron, although he's playing pretty well, but still, may, you know, they're not the same team with Andy Dalton when Andy Dalton's at quarterback. Kansas City is a team that people still want to know about. That offense, can it score enough points if they get into trouble? Houston is a team that, like I said earlier, is, I wouldn't put their quarterback as, you know, Brian Hoyer is a stellar, fantastic quarterback, but that defense is still pretty good. The Broncos got a quarterback issue, and the Patriots are banged up. So the AFC is wide open for teams. I just want to know how the Broncos are going to handle this situation now, because I'm not believing anything anybody says at all now. Why would I take anybody's word for it? Everybody said Peyton Manning was never going to play again, and he did. Am I supposed to believe any sort of belief that Brock Osweiler is now going to be on the bench and stay there the rest of the playoffs? I mean, have you ever seen such a wide narrative as what these two quarterbacks are to the Gary Kubiak system? I mean, when you really think about it, right? We never pegged down exactly what the Denver Broncos want. I think, Adam, I think I tweeted you out today. I don't think Denver knows what they want in their quarterback.
I don't think anybody in Denver knows what they want in their quarterback, fans included.
You get it both ways, right? I mean, I guess you just get it both ways. When you have Manning, it's, we have the kind of Hall of Famer that is just complete and understands how to get things done. He's so experienced in reading defenses and drawing opponents off sides. He's the kind of quarterback that understands the nuances of the game, something that young Brock struggles with. But when Brock Osweiler's in the game, it's, you know, we have the kind of quarterback that runs the Gary Kubiak system the way it was meant to be run. And, you know, we incorporate the running game. We look a little bit better. It has a more flow. The balls are coming in with more zing and pop. We don't have a quarterback with a weak arm. I guess it just, you just use whatever one you want based on who's the quarterback of the team.
Yeah, whichever fits.
Whatever fits. And then boo the guy that's on the bench.
Yes, exactly. Boo him.
Boo him. Whoever they don't start. Boo him, you fair-weathered fan base.
We were talking before the show. I'm so interested this offseason to see what happens in that position. Are the Broncos going to pay Brock Osweiler, who they just benched in the last game heading into the playoffs, $14 million a year like he could command?
Exactly. Exactly.
Especially because he can hold them hostage. Oh, what other quarterback are you going to go get? I'm sitting right here. I know this offense. I ran it decently enough. Give me $14, $15 million a year.
What are you going to do? Keep a 41-year-old quarterback around at $20 million?
Who you just jerked around for 5 weeks?
Who your fans unmercifully booed, and he won't forget that. I could guarantee you that.
No.
Listen, he threw a little tongue-in-cheek thing at the end where he said, yeah, the same fans booing me 6 weeks ago against Kansas City. Kind of laughing it off like, ah, I get it. You know, they boo, they cheer, whatever. But believe me, Manning doesn't forget that kind of stuff. They were rude to him.
Yes.
Rude. They destroyed that guy, and he was injured. He was injured, and they booed him off the field. Amazing what's going on there. And you know what? I hate to say it, but I'm not. If I wouldn't be threatened by Denver's offense, I think that defense is Super Bowl worthy and can take them all the way. But neither one of these guys is a lock, just Broncos are okay offensively. Either one of these guys is going to cause you trouble. 800-777-2907. We'll focus on the Vikings coming up next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio, going back over the regular season into the playoffs in the National Football League. And the Minnesota Vikings are your NFC North champions. They closed out the season with three straight wins, including beating the Green Bay Packers Sunday night 20-13. This is a team that finished 11-5. Chris Gates covers the Vikings for DailyNorseman.com, part of SB Nation. And he joins us here on Yahoo Sports Radio to talk about this team. It's heading to the postseason. Got a good matchup with Seattle coming up. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing all right, Tony. How are you doing this evening?
Good. I want to get a little bit more insight onto this Vikings team. Can you give us an idea of where this team's identity is in terms of how good they are? What is their identity?
When you look at the way things have gone this season so far, their identity, and they've kind of taken on the identity of their head coach, Mike Zimmer. He was known for his defensive prowess before he came to Minnesota as the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati. And, you know, this team's signature is its defense, and you saw that on display a little bit this evening, holding a Packers offense that, while they've been struggling, still has plenty of pieces, holding them to 13 points in the biggest game of the year this evening.
Teddy Bridgewater, we saw him in the draft, and people really liked him, and the Vikings landed him, made him the starter. What is Teddy Bridgewater's strength? How does he beat you?
He's really a bright guy. I mean, that's probably his biggest strength, his ability to read the coverages, to make more often than not the smart decision. I mean, we saw him make a pretty boneheaded decision tonight. It wound up not costing the Vikings too much, but that's probably his biggest strength. He doesn't have as big an arm as you might like, although that can change as he continues in his NFL career. But, you know, for the most part, he generally makes good decisions, and he doesn't make the dumb error that really hurts your team a lot.
Take us back with Adrian Peterson, because we went through this controversy with him when he was coming back, and there was talk about the Dallas Cowboys are going to trade for him, and he's not going to play anymore, and they mended that really well, and he ended up being the rushing leader. And go take us back to that time. How did they work that out?
Well, and basically, I think it was just after the draft, there were all the rumors flying around the Vikings are going to trade him. It might have been Dallas. It might have been Arizona. I think Tampa Bay was in that mix somewhere. And after the draft, the Vikings got to their first mini camp or whatever, and Mike Zimmer came out for a press conference one afternoon and basically said, well, either Adrian Peterson's going to play for us or he's not going to play. And lo and behold, 2 days later, Peterson was at organized team activities, which kind of shows the level of respect that the players, including Peterson, have for Mike Zimmer, which is a pretty outstanding thing to have.
Yeah, and it seemed to me that, listen, he obviously winning makes people happy, and winning cures a lot of ills, but he seemed to be not a problem and no issue anymore, like as soon as he got to work.
No, and I think that's what it was. I mean, you know, what he did, I'm still disgusted by it. I mean, I don't like what he did, but, you know, the Vikings made, I guess, what you'd call a business decision. I mean, they could have, you know, dumped him for, you know, pennies on the dollar or whatever, but, you know, they had what they wanted to get in a trade, or either that or they weren't going to trade him, and nobody was willing to meet their price. So, you know, he was under contract to the Vikings for 3 more years, so there really wasn't anything he could do about it from his side other than sit out. And, you know, like I said, Zimmer said he's either going to play for Minnesota or he's not going to play for anybody, and, you know, he's back in Minnesota, whether you like what he did off the field or not.
Chris Gates joins us. DailyNorseman.com covers the Minnesota Vikings, who have won the NFC North. All right, Chris, there was a point during the season, and it was just a couple of weeks ago, late November, early December, where they had lost to the Packers at home, they lost to Seattle, and then they went on the road and lost to Arizona. And there was a feeling that this Minnesota Vikings team was good, but in the end, against the better teams, they weren't as good. Has that changed, especially with this win at Lambeau Field?
I think it's starting to change. I don't know if it's completely changed yet. You know, this team was sort of, you know, the talk in the offseason as well. They might challenge for a playoff spot. They might win, you know, 9 or 10 games. But a lot of the thought was that this team was still really a year away. You know, they're kind of killing time at TCF Bank Stadium before the new digs open up next season. But yeah, this team is still very young on both sides of the ball, with a couple of exceptions like Peterson, who's one of the older players now. And, you know, there were some of those games, like the first Packers game and the Seahawks game, where, you know, at the moment might have gotten a little too big for them for the most part. But then they went to Arizona on that Thursday night, you know, the short turnaround after getting hammered by Seattle. They went in there without their three best defensive players because Linval Joseph, Anthony Barr, and Harrison Smith all sat out. And they fought the Cardinals right down to the very last drive of the game, and they were in field goal range before an inexplicably bad play call by Norv Turner. And Teddy Bridgewater fumbled, and that was it for that game. But I think that loss to Arizona kind of, you know, woke them up a little bit and said that, you know, they belong on these sort of stages. And, you know, we kind of saw that tonight a little bit as well. And hopefully, as this team continues to grow and develop, we'll see more of that going forward.
Chris Gates again, Daily Norseman, covering the Minnesota Vikings. You talked about that defense, and you talked about Mike Zimmer, especially with his defensive mindset. Where is the strength of the defense?
The strength of the defense, contrary to what it's been for most of the past few years, it might be in the secondary now. Because, you know, Harrison Smith, he doesn't get nearly the attention that guys like Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor might get, but he's every bit as good a safety as they are. Xavier Rhodes has been having a very good year. Terrence Newman, even at 37 years old, has been playing well. And Captain Munnerlin, after a down year in 2014, has bounced back quite a bit as well. Yeah, The Vikings play good enough coverage in the secondary now where, the front seven is talented and fast and athletic. They get extra opportunities to get after quarterbacks because of guys like Rhodes and Smith and Newman back there in the secondary, keeping opposing receivers occupied.
Chris, and the players obviously would be disappointed with any loss. They believe they could make the playoffs and all that stuff. But I'm talking about the fans. Given what you said earlier about this team was kind of a year away, is this team, with the fans, are they kind of playing with house money right now, given that no matter where this goes, this has been a season a little bit beyond the expectations?
I think that's probably the case a little bit. I mean, like I said earlier, I think a lot of people thought the Vikings would challenge for a playoff spot. They might get in as a wild card. They didn't know if they were ready to knock Green Bay off the pedestal yet for the division. But, they've done that. They're sitting 11-5. They get at least one more game at TCF Bank Stadium, their temporary home. And, anything can happen in the playoffs, I guess. But this is probably above and beyond the expectations of most Vikings fans, and we're just going to kind of sit back and enjoy it the rest of the way for as long as it goes.
Well, there's more national attention on the playoffs and a lot more focus on stories and Mike Zimmer especially. In terms of what he inherited when he got to Minnesota, what kind of team were the Vikings before he got there?
Well, the year after the Vikings fired Leslie Frazier. It was the 2013 season. The Vikings went 5-10-1. They had a defense that was one of the worst in football, probably the worst in football, because they were one of eight defenses since the merger that were allowing at least 30 points a game. They were kind of old. Their offensive philosophy was not, what it needed to be. And, Zimmer has a system, and he's gotten the guys that fit into his system, and now the Vikings are probably one of the four or five best defenses in the league, and they've got some young guys on both sides of the ball, and they're going to continue to develop. So the cupboard was kind of bare when Mike Zimmer got to Minnesota, but he and Rick Spielman have really changed that over the course of the last couple of years.
Is that offensive line a problem still as we head into the playoffs for the Vikings?
The offensive line is probably the biggest problem that this team has. I mean, Joe Berger has played well at center, and Mike Harris, the converted tackle, has played pretty well at right guard. Matt Khalil has been as up and down as it gets. Brandon Fusco, they moved him from right guard to left guard, and that's been pretty much a disaster. And TJ Clemmings at right tackle, the Vikings were hoping to kind of keep him on the bench for a year and let him learn, but when Phil Loholt tore his Achilles back in the second game of the preseason, they didn't have any real choice but to throw him into the fire. And, if this team does have a weak spot, the offensive line is definitely the weakest spot on the team at this point, I think.
Chris Gates, again, DailyNorseman.com on the Vikings, will face Seattle to open up the postseason. Appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much.
Not a problem, Tony. Thank you for having me.
You got a fascinating team, the Minnesota Vikings. A team not that long ago, I mean, Adam and I were talking about their game against Arizona, and I remember us saying, wow, let's give credit to the Vikings for bouncing back, even though they lost, looking pretty good. And it was this, you kind of give that to teams that you're just saying, wow, look at them. All right. But the Vikings were a real playoff team that finished 11-5. We're a team now we're going to have to face and talk about. What kind of team are they? Yeah, people are already buzzing about, well, it's a tough assignment against Seattle. But this is a team that runs the ball great with Adrian Peterson, smart quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater, defensive-minded coach, and a strong defense. And that's no joke winning that division and going on the road and beating Green Bay. Green Bay's a mess, and they kind of are a mess. But still, that's a legitimate way to finish out the season and win the division. 800-777-2907. But I like the way the NFC is shaping. Whether it's the Carolina Panthers, Arizona Cardinals, the Vikings, I mean, like the way Seattle, like the way that division is shaping up, that conference is shaping up. 800-777-2907 to get your thoughts on the postseason and what we saw this year on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks to Chris Gates breaking down the Minnesota Vikings who will face Seattle. Boy, that's a tough opening slot. What would the Minnesota Vikings, I know I'm asking you to do a quick math, what would the Minnesota Vikings, if they had lost the game, would they be on the road to Washington?
Yes, I believe that's
almost a better deal.
Yeah.
Seattle's the hottest team, one of the hottest teams in football right now. I say one of, because Kansas City's won 10 in a row.
10 in a row.
10 in a row.
Weren't they 0-5? 0-6?
They won their first game, and then they went 1-5. They lost 5 in a row, all to very, very good teams.
Wow.
Then they beat Pittsburgh with Landry Jones at quarterback, and they just cruised on in, 10 wins in a row.
With Alex Smith.
Oh, and remember they lost Jamal Charles, yes. And everyone was like, what are they going to do now? They're in deep trouble. And they lost somebody else, I think, on defense.
Justin Houston went down for a few games.
Yeah, that's right, a few games. And everyone was like, oh, look, they're going to get hurt now. And then they just found other guys that kind of punched it in. Spencer Ware, Jenderick West. They found people to replace them. Good job. And you know what else helped them is that Alex Smith doesn't turn over the ball. He had two picks today, yeah. But he was going through hundreds of passes without an interception. You know, they don't do anything flashy. It's not like they put up 40 plus a game on you. He gets 170 yards, 180 yards passing. They run the ball well. They score just enough. And I think it was Frank Schwab last week that probably gave the best thought on the Chiefs that I had heard. They're not the team. If you don't root for them, if you're just looking for a good game, they're not the game you turn to.
Right.
No matter who they're playing, they're not a team you go, oh, I got to see what the Chiefs are doing. Oh, yeah. They're not a fun team to watch, but they're efficient enough to win games, and they've won 10 straight.
I think a big help for them was Jeremy Maclin.
Oh, yeah.
That's
absolutely
what they were hoping Dwayne Bowe was going to do when they signed him to that contract.
That's right. Let's go to Steven in Ohio. Let's talk about Bengals. What's up, man?
Hey, Tony. I got a hypothetical question for you. As you're talking about Denver tonight and their quarterback situation that they have with Osweiler and Manning, let me throw this at you. If Cincinnati goes on to beat Pittsburgh this week with A.J. McCarron, and then they go on and have to travel to New England and take on the Patriots, do you put back in, I can't think of my quarterback's name. Jesus.
Dalton. Andy Dalton.
Dalton. Yes, the Red Rifle. Do you put back Dalton in or leave in A.J. McCarron?
I got to think you'd put in Andy Dalton. I just can't imagine you keep rolling the dice with a guy who's just had a couple of handful of starts to go to Foxborough.
That's kind of what I was wondering, too. But the way that that McCarron played in Denver, I mean, he played well in Denver. And then this week, I mean, he had a rough start in the beginning, but I think that was a little bit more maybe nerves of the final game of the season, knowing what was on the line. But in the second half, I thought he threw the ball as well as he had all season, and sometimes even better than what I saw Dalton throw the ball earlier in the season. Plus his poise in the pocket, and then some of the play calling that he made, some decision-making in the second half, I thought was even better than Dalton's early in the year.
I look at it this way. I think there was a time when Andy Dalton was playing really well with the most complete team in the AFC you could make the case was Cincinnati. And I'd have a hard time believing that they would toss that away. I like the way AJ McCarron's playing. I think you're right. That game against Denver, I don't think he played bad. I don't think to go on the road and your second start in the league and play as well as they did in the beginning and then kind of stumble around. He got a little banged up, but I just can't imagine Marvin Lewis going, yeah, I can't bring the guy that made us as good as we were. I can't bring him back. I think they bring him back.
I think you're probably right. I think that's the only way that you have to go, and you have to go with what got you there. But in a season where you've had backups and issues with backup quarterbacks all around the league, I think Cincinnati finally has themselves a backup quarterback that they know they can rely on.
I say this with all due respect to A.J. McCarron, because I like the kid, and I'm actually glad he's winning some games, because I know the Alabama quarterback curse has not been kind to Alabama quarterbacks. But if the Pittsburgh Steelers lose to A.J. McCarron in a 4 or 5 year span, they would have lost to Tebow and A.J. McCarron in the first round of the playoffs. You know how hard that would be to take?
It would be rough for a lot of I think a lot of Steelers fans would be really crying into those yellow towels.
Exactly. Even more reason for you to root if AJ McCarron is a starter.
Absolutely, it'll be a good game.
Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Especially if he hits like AJ Green over the middle and runs for, you know, runs for 70 yards for a game winning touchdown.
Oh God. What a, I can't begin to tell you how horrible that was. I just can't. To this day, I still can't believe it.
Tim Tebow.
To this day, I still can't believe it.
I feel like the Steelers should have had like a 2-year playoff ban after that.
Oh,
game.
Of course. No, I mean, and the Broncos that year like stumbled into the playoffs because he played bad towards the end. He was winning these miracle games.
Yes.
But when push came to shove at the end of the season, they were not winning. They didn't win against the Patriots. I think they lost the final game of the regular season to the Bills. They kind of backed into the playoffs. And the Steelers should have just rolled past them. Instead, and I love Dick LeBeau, he went like cover zero. Like on a, and there was no safety help. And the only had one-on-one coverage because he literally kept believing that Tebow couldn't throw all game. Here was the interesting stat of that game. And I know I'm harping on some old wounds, but bear with me on this. Tebow completed 10 passes for 316 yards. He had a 31.6 yards per completion. That's how bizarre that game was.
That the Steelers are the reason that Tim Tebow mania went crazy.
Oh.
I mean, obviously the mania was there, him coming in, where he was drafted, and all that stuff. But you know, then like you said, he got a couple crazy end of the game wins. I think he beat my Bears during the regular season.
Yes, he did.
At the very end of the season
when Matt Forte didn't go out of bounds.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So.
But the Steelers are the reason the Tim Tebow mania went insane. Oh,
how many times did that play get played that week?
Oh, my gosh.
10,000?
I swear to God, if you could listen to every sports radio station at once that entire week, that's all it was about.
All it was. Everywhere I went, department stores, if they had televisions on, it was on to that play. It just was like a loop in my head. I couldn't believe it.
And then Tebow just thanking God. That's it.
That's it. And then against the Patriots, just couldn't play.
No.
Just was non-existent. Now, I love A.J. McCarron. I really do. I like him a lot. But the Steelers can't lose to A.J. If A.J. McCarron's playing, the Steelers can't lose to A.J. McCarron.
I mean, there's reports that Dalton does not seem likely to play. I've seen reports, but, I mean, who knows?
This is what I want. I want this to happen at the end of the season because this would fit my nice work. Because, again, I have a lot of respect for the kid. Ben Roethlisberger putting his arms around him at the end of the game going, you're going to be back, kid. You're going to be back. You'll be here. Don't you worry about it. You're a good player. Good luck.
Keep your head up.
You're going to be good. That's what I want. Because he should walk off that field going, I think I can play in this league. I think I can do well in this league. And Ben Roethlisberger going, yeah, but you kind of have to go through the motions in order to get a win.
I think Steven put it right. The Bengals have themselves a good backup quarterback. And
exactly.
In this league, that is like, that's gold.
That's gold. Are you kidding?
Worth its weight in gold right there.
Look, listen, as a Steelers fan, if they could found somebody other than Michael Vick or Landry Jones this season, they'd be in a lot better shape than the sixth seed in the playoffs.
Let's think about the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, the Dallas Cowboys.
They might be in the playoffs, even though they have a top five pick.
Top five pick. Because their quarterback got hurt. You know, real quick, I know you can't, injuries are part of the game, will always be part of the games, but if the owners could wave a magic wand and protect quarterbacks all year, they would.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. It's life or death. Your quarterback is hobbling, forget it. Forget it. You're done. I swear, if some of these owners, if they could strap flags on these guys, they would. It just must drive them nuts to have their season blow up like that. Yahoo Sports Radio.